Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Did you guys know that Ray LeBlanc is getting married? Did I tell you guys that? I'm up in Marshfield, Wisconsin on Sunday afternoon. I get to marry Ray LeBlanc. Let me turn this for you here, OJ. You can kind of watch for me. Ray, you guys know Ray. It kind of happened fast. Jane Olson, he and Ray are getting married at the, we're going to do it at the Wisconsin Christian Center, event center there. Did a little bit of a, I guess you would call it a rehearsal, although it really wasn't much of a rehearsal. Ray LeBlanc is getting married. Did you guys know that? Make sure that you send me some kind of congratulations or a gift or something like that. And amazing, man. They're like teenagers. They're around holding hands. They're that cheese. Come on, Ray. I'm just kidding, Ray. I don't know. Is he in here today? I don't want to make fun of him. Ray, if you're in here, you can come in here and tell us about your big marriage. I got this set so OJ can kind of look over and I'm got my head turned. It's probably not good for you guys to see. Yeah, we got a good crowd in here, but I don't see Ray. Now, there he is. Ray. Ray, come on in here, man.
Yeah, boss, I'm here.
These guys didn't know you're getting married. What's going on with that, Ray? We losing you?
No, you're not losing me. You're gaining another worker for the ministry. Me and Jane, it's been a whirlwind since I've been out here. I've known her since I first landed into Wisconsin area, but I've been kind of shying away because that's not what I came out here for. You know, my whole reason was just to serve the Lord in the ministry with Rob Pugh and try to pump that up. But I kept rubbing shoulders with different people, and every time we rub shoulders, it's sort of like pheromones were going off in our bodies and alarms were going off. So I kind of tried to keep avoiding her because I wasn't looking for anything. And then the more I did, it seems like the more we were being drawn together to each other. So it's all been prayed out each step of the way. I told the Lord, slam the door and lock it tight if this isn't the way I should be going. But it just, everything just kept developing. You guys, your support and, everything was just confirmation after confirmation. So right, I'm blessed to have the coach marry us Sunday morning. Anybody can make it there. Come on down.
Amen, brother.
You're not going to let her turn you into a puppy cat, are you?
Absolutely not. I'm going to turn her into a tiger. I got her out to Iowa, and that's the first time she went out there in front of that judge and was pointing her finger up that window. No, we're going to be together as a ministering team.
You guys are gonna be a great team. So hey, all you guys out there, congratulate old Ray when you get a chance. Send him a text. Or
thanks,
something
coach.
Like that. Is that something? And that's something, boy. Oh man, it's good news. And so we're here. We got the conference going on. Got people, as I said, off the air. People coming in from everywhere, man. And you know, can I be honest with you? Yeah, I can be honest with you. It's my show. I just get something I put here. I made a note to myself right here. OJ gets to see how I do the show. Hey, Lowell, I'm going to call on you here in a minute, buddy. I want you to get ready. I'm going to, Ray, Lowell, I want you to tell me, you have a unique perspective. I was thinking about you this morning when I was doing my, show prep. You have a unique perspective, Lowell. And I'm going to ask you here in a minute just to tell us what's really going on from a spiritual standpoint, as you see it. So you hang on there, bud, because I'm coming back to you. But I wanted to say, I wanted to say this, because I get emails about this. Those of you who know me know I'm really probably a pretty easygoing, decent, normal guy. Got John Brockhoff throwed up here last night. And OJ's right here. And OJ and John Brockhoff are going to share a room, because OJ had one. And I said, You know, I knew John was a little bit nervous. He'd never met OJ. We're all a little nervous like that, right? Who am I staying with tonight? I said, listen, dude, you're going to find out something. Everybody that we hang with are just normal dudes. They're just normal dudes, right? Ain't nobody special. Ain't nothing about nobody. OJ is a great guy. You're going to love OJ. You're just going to love him. Relax. There ain't nobody up on no high horse here. Ain't nobody reverend this and pastor that. And ain't none of that stuff. These are just people who are sick and tired of what's going on. And that's what I love about this crew. That's what I love about OJ's from, how old are you, OJ? 71 years old. OJ drove all the way up here from eastern, western Kentucky, all the way up here. It's a long haul for him. He came up. He had reasons he couldn't be here, but he came up there. And maybe I'll get him on here in a minute. It's for the camaraderie, right, OJ? For the camaraderie, man. Meeting guys like Brockoff.
People seeking the truth.
People seeking the truth. He's hungry for that. So I wrote a scintillating commentary yesterday. Probably got more. I say this often, but I probably got more of a reaction on that what I wrote yesterday, fearful and unbelieving, than anything. It started out not good because people were complaining that how it goes, right? Coach, we're not to be confrontational, and you can't work your way into heaven. And you guys could finish 10 more reasons why what I said was harsh and unloving. When I'm just saying, telling the truth about the fearful and the unbelieving, that the Bible says that the fearful and unbelieving, who, by the way, Revelation 21:8, are saved people. They're saved people. He endureth to the end, shall inherit all things. And he says, but the fearful and unbelieving. Well, so I just talk about that, and the fearful and unbelieving, the fact that we don't really, boys and girls, we don't really believe what we say we believe. We see, for most of us, what we believe is a thought. It's not really an action. It's not really an action. When Peter walked on the water, it was water. And what he showed was, the Lord said, come unto me on the water. Come on out here. And Peter believed. He walked. He believed. Now, I want you to think about how many issues in your life, whether it be homosexuality or abortion or the disobedient children. I mean, you can go through 1,000 different things. How many of those things are the way they are because of your lack of belief? And I'm not a name it, claim it guy. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't have any belief that the Lord can do what he says he's going to do. We don't believe that. And that's why we find ourselves in the mess that we're in. If we would just follow the precepts of the Lord, we wouldn't be in this mess. But we don't want to follow those precepts. We don't want to talk about them. So here's what I'm getting back to. By the way, Flicker Friday, I'm going to let us flick some stuff here today. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sure. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Jerry.
Okay. Why are you doing that? You know, what the coach just said.
I already did it. Go ahead.
Now, what the coach just said is so, so important, because faith is more than just thinking something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is not hope. It's the substance of hope. And it's the evidence of things not seen. It's not thinking about things that haven't happened yet.
It's tangible.
So faith is putting into action what you're thinking. If you're not putting into action, you do not have faith.
So let me ask you something. Why did everybody else on that boat see water and Peter saw a sidewalk? I don't know. He believes something, right? So here's the nitty gritty. Here's what I wanted to get at today, because I made a note to myself over here. I get sick and tired of this. People say, I can't hardly watch him. He's so negative. What? How do you even answer that? He's so negative. When you turn into this show, folks, we simply lay out on there the way things are. That's all we do. And then we point out why things are the way they are. See, they want Pastor Happy Talk. They want people to tell them how great things are going and what a great job we're all doing, and that's just not the truth. And as I started to say, or did say, I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I love life. I'm glad my wife's up here with me. We're going to be around all these guys. But boys and girls, it's like a, Do you ever go to the auto mechanic, get your oil changed? The guy pops hood and he gets under and says, oh, man, I'm sorry. You need a serpentine belt. So you're so negative. Every time I come here, you always tell me bad news. Well, sometimes I feel like an auto mechanic. I got the hood up and I'm looking in there and I'm saying, this isn't good. This ain't working and this ain't working and this ain't working. And boys, if we don't fix this, you're going to lose your transmission. That's how I feel. So I'm not apologizing, but I think
many of us have that problem. Like we want the facts. We're realists. We want to know what's going on. And unfortunately, what's going on is not real good.
No. And we don't want the mechanic to tell us we need a new serpentine belt. Said, oh, just put some duct tape on it. We'll be okay. No. Now listen, put some duct tape on that belt because we ain't going to be here long. We're going to be out of here soon. So I just wanted to address that, man. I am so sick. I'm so sick of hearing the fact that anytime you bring truth to people, it's negative.
Coach, that is anti-faith. If you think about it, what is faith? Calling things that are not as though they are. What they're doing when people do that, they're calling things that are as though they're not.
They got it just backwards. It ain't all okay. And somebody's got to stand up and say that it ain't okay.
Coach, so, it's because they're not living right, Coach.
There's no doubt about it. I was having this conversation with Matt Tice on the way up here yesterday. Yeah, Matt jumped in here and rode up here with us. He said, wouldn't the world be so much easier if we just taught everybody to obey the Bible? wouldn't life really for everybody, economically, everything, wouldn't life be so much more simple?
Hey, and Coach.
How do we get away from that? Yeah, Vic.
It's hate sounds like, I mean, truth sounds like hate. It's the red t-shirt. That's it. That's all it is.
That's it. Well, it's like this. See, it's and I one of the points I made in that commentary I wrote yesterday was that our beliefs are just thoughts. And for most of us, we say, yeah, I'm pro-life. And they're slaughtering babies right down the road. And you drive by it and don't even know the place is there. Well, you say, I think I'm going to have to lose some weight. I want to lose some weight. And you eat and you eat and you eat and you eat and you sit on your butt. So what we say we believe is evidenced by what we do. Paul said, I'll show you my faith, right? Faith without works is dead. If you believe something and you're not, if you believe abortion's murder and you're not doing something about it, you don't really believe it, man. And I was talking to somebody, maybe it was last night, same thing. You know what? If we publicly showed abortion, do you think abortion would go on? Or would people be horrified enough at that point to say no? Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Coach.
George.
You know, it's interesting. I just read that exact same thing about you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. And the only place I can tell where works are absolutely not important is getting saved. But on every other level, they're crucial. They're the main thing. It says, once we're saved unto doing good works.
Amen.
And so you see, we've stopped at that. We've bought into the lie. Oh, hey, you're saved by grace. Now you don't need to do anything.
That's
big
right.
Lie.
It is a big lie, and it's being promulgated. I've got a thing I could pull up here real quick. But I want to, let's do this real quick, Jared. Two remarkable things have happened. I'm going to show you two things. Jared, go to the dad has sued over abortion. For the first time in a long time, I'm optimistic about some things. Coming up here on the screen, Jared's going to throw it up there for you to look at. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. And I say it's about time. It's about time. See, what are you talking about, Coach? Well, I'm talking about this dad. Let me find here, Jared, on my screen. Sorry, fellas. Folks, stay with me a second.
That's a fantastic story, Coach. I hope you find it.
There
that's
it awesome. Is. Alabama man's. It's on the screen. Alabama man sues abortion clinic on behalf of himself and his unborn baby. He calls him Baby Roe. For the first time, the U.S. has granted legal rights to the aborted baby. In other words, for the first time ever, the judge said that case can go forward. Because I want you to think about this. Can somebody explain to me why a father has no rights over a baby? None. Yet if you get a woman pregnant and she gives that baby birth, you are financially responsible for that baby to what, 18, OJ? Is it 18, I think? 18. You have to pay for that child and should have to. You have financial responsibilities for that baby. Yet you have no say into whether the baby comes into the world or not. Boys, I'm telling you, some worms are turning in some of these areas. Some things that are really, really critical. But the problem that we have is the justice system is so demonic. And let me do you a little bit of coaching here that maybe you didn't know. I'm sorry about the light here. I keep trying to get the light right here. Judge shopping. See, you guys know what judge shopping is? I think you probably do. But you have to be smart enough to understand that when God-hating forces, well, the legal system, when they file a case, they find a favorable judge. It's called judge shopping. So if I want to file a case to be able to have a father have rights in regards to his baby, I better file it in the right court. And when I file in that right court, I better hope I get the right judge. Because if I get the right judge, I have a chance to have life. I have a chance in the battle. And so what the ACLU and all those guys do, they do judge shopping. If you watch, a lot of their cases are filed out in the out there in the West, what's it, Ninth Circuit Court or whatever. Most of them are filed out there because they're all liberal judges. And so if they can get a liberal judge to agree with them, see, now it goes up the step. That's how all these things are being done. So it's not even equal justice under the law. But see, here's what's really, really good about this. This Alabama guy has sued in federal court, and the judge said it can go forward. And see, there's probably some conservative courts down in Alabama, aren't there? So it may have a chance. I'm telling you, folks, the holes in abortion are unbelievable. This is a good, there's no reason not winning. Other than, OJ, we're believing lies, see. We believe lies about the legal system, judicial supremacy, all that stuff. It's about to come down. Okay, Jerry, let's go back there again because this pumped me up. Apologia Church, I don't know, guys, if you know that, Jeff Durbin, Apologia Church. They're doing what George Lewis. It reminds me of George Foreman. Yes, sir. Every time he cooks a hamburger, I think of that grill that you have out there, George. George went to the city council. Some of George's friends have gone to city council. We've seen other people go to city council. This is becoming a trend across America. I want you to watch this 3-minute video of this woman, Jared, it says Lady in Phoenix, from Apologia Church, shows up at the city council. And man, oh man, pull that up there real quick, Jared, if you can. Or if you did, I'm sorry, I'm not looking at the screen right now. Let me come back here. Okay, I'm the what? This is on. Yeah, okay, now before you play it, Jared, I want you guys to see down here at the bottom what she, right? Keep going, Jared. What she cites. Morning. What she cites on a little bit lower. I'm sorry, bud. She cites a city ordinance. A little bit lower, Jared. I'm sorry, man. Of course, it's not going to work that way. There it is. Here's the city ordinance that she quoted. Listen to this. It's any person who provides, supplies, or city ordinance. Any person who provides, supplies, or administers to a pregnant woman or procures such woman to take any medication, drugs, or substances, or uses or employs any instrument or other means whatsoever with intent thereby to procure the miscarriage of such woman, unless it is necessary to save her life, shall be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for not less than 2 years and not more than 5 years. That's currently all on the books in Phoenix. And she points this out. Jared, play this 3-minute clip from this woman. Boy, I'm just telling you, worms turning a little bit in this abortion debate. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, honorable representatives. My name is Desiree Mays. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, a local resident, a wife, a mother, and a member of Apologia Church. I come here today with the blessing of my pastors and the support of my husband and family. This week, our country celebrated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And as you know, Dr. King had a dream that our nation would recognize that all people were created equal. Well, that dream is dead for nearly 60 million people. Since Roe v. Wade, nearly 60 million babies have been murdered. So that means every day for the past 46 years, children have been executed in our country, in our neighborhoods, all in broad daylight. This type of oppression is difficult to even wrap our minds around. You may have bought into the pro-choice mantra, her body, her choice. Well, that ignorant, unscientific argument has been debunked for decades. So I'm here today not to talk about her body, but I'm here to talk about the body inside of her body. The body that has his or her own separate and unique DNA, fingerprints, mind, and soul. Through modern ultrasound technologies and through medical advancement, everybody knows the baby in the womb is an actual living person at conception.
Everybody knows that.
Science
everybody
tells
knows
us this, and more importantly, God tells us this through his word. God also tells us that every single child is a gift to his or her parents. Regardless of the circumstances surrounding your conception, whether you were planned or unplanned by your parents, whether you were wanted or unwanted, whether you were born into poverty or wealth, whether you were born healthy or with special needs, whatever the circumstances were, each of you were a gift to your parents, as is every single child in the womb of their mother. Every single one of these lives, like yours, is precious and deserves the same protection as any other person made in the image of God. As a mother, I began to think that sometime in the not-so-distant future, while looking back at this grim era in history, our children and grandchildren might ask us, "What were you doing? Where was everybody?" So I come here today to plead with you to use your power to do something. God has sovereignly placed each of you in the positions that you're in, and now is the time to do your duty and stand up for what is right. Arizona already has a current law on the books that criminalizes abortion. Why are we not enforcing this?
Amen.
Ignore Roe and uphold AZ Statute 13-3603. Don't be ruthless tyrants like New York. Be courageous and help Arizona to be on the first in this country to be on the right side of history by protecting the most defenseless among us. I know I speak for a whole army of other Christians when I say this needs to end now. We will not stop fighting and bothering you all until this monstrous, barbaric practice of legalized abortion ends, and we are teaching our children to do the same.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? See, this kind of stuff is happening over and over and over. Remember, all politics is local. We have to stir up a hornet's nest right where we live. Hey, I've kind of dominated here for a while. Somebody come in here a minute. Lowell, you get ready. I got something for you. Come on in. Anybody?
Hey.
Hello, Coach.
Go ahead, Larry. Go ahead.
Now, I would like to piggyback on, I believe, what OJ said earlier about, you know, works not applying anywhere except in salvation. Well, even in salvation, we have to make the process and begin the process of repentance. And that involves changing the way we think, act, and do. So that involves some type of works too. And yet, you know, they say we're saved by grace alone. Now, there's two really bad fallacies in that statement right there. One is they use an unbiblical, incorrect definition of grace. And number two, they add the word alone, which is not in the Bible on that verse.
Well, they say grace alone through faith alone, Larry. That's what they try to tell us, right? And you are saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God.
Yeah, the word alone is not there. And it's the faith gift of God, not the grace. The grace is not the gift. It takes works to come under grace.
Amen. Amen.
No, sir, Larry.
What's that?
Hello, Coach.
Yes, sir. Come on in.
It's me, Matthew.
Hey, Matthew.
I was just going. Fine. Thank you. Hi. How are you? Good. God bless you, Coach. I just wanted to mention Matthew. What was it? Matthew 8, chapter 23, verse 23, where the disciples are in the boat during a storm. Do you recall this one?
Help me out. Matthew 8, 20 what?
23. Jesus is sleeping in the boat, and, right, and there's a storm. And Jesus says to them, after they wake him up, and they say, "Look, we're going to drown. We're going to perish." And then he calls them out and says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Here, faith is referred to their belief in the Lord, I believe. And we have to have faith in the Lord.
Towards the Lord. Larry would tell us, towards the Lord, right?
Towards, that, yes, towards.
That he will do what he says he will do. Now, guys, this is, to me, this is so, I don't want to camp on abortion, okay? Look, does anybody, any Christian man or woman in their right mind think God's pro-abortion? Does anybody think that? Now, if You don't think God is for abortion. Can somebody explain to me why you don't do anything about it? If you don't think God is for homosexual marriage, can somebody explain to me why you don't do anything about it? You say, well, coach, I don't know what to do. Well, grab a sign and stand on a corner. Talk to your friends. Teach your children. Go to your public school. Speak out. Say, well, I've never done anything like that. No kidding. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. Don't you see? Don't you understand that the silent majority is silent? And they are the majority, but nobody cares. They sit over there like ducks and clap their hands when...
Amen, brother.
That's why going to
someone just needs to do something.
That's why we need to. That's why we need to become more vocal. Have to become more vocal in this battle that we're in. So let me stop there a second. By the way, great verse there. Why are you fearful? Remember the fearful and unbelieving. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. Right. Because they did not have faith. Ultimately, we are in this mess we are in because we don't believe that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. We don't believe it. And because we don't believe that, then we let kids run wild, our education get destroyed, marriage get destroyed, the culture go to hell. Because why? We don't think God will do what he says he will do. We don't believe it. The church doesn't believe that if my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn for their wicked ways, then they'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal. We don't believe it, or we would be doing it. So Paul told us faith without works is dead. We have a lot of dead faith. I wrote on that a while ago too, dead faith. That's what faith, if it has not works, it's dead, boys. You can have all the faith you want, and you aren't doing anything with it. I could sit right here and have faith that I'm going to get $1 million. That's dead faith, baby. If I don't go do some work. Okay, Lowell, I want you to bring in here because I just sense, first of all, Jared, I'm really feeling this today. I don't know if you guys can feel that I'm feeling it. Jared, let's go to, this is what, Lowell, this is what prompted me this morning. Jared, bring up that email. It says Lowell's email. Where did I think I sent that to you, didn't I? If I didn't, Jared hit me in the nose. I didn't. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I didn't send it. No, I know you got one, Jared. It says Ohio Huddle reminder and final details. Okay, some of you got this yesterday, but I want to read this to you. This came from Lowell because we're having the Ohio Huddle coming up. It's all right here. It's all in here. I'm going to talk about it here in a minute. Lancaster, we're going to have one. But here's what Lowell put in this. In his email. And I think Lowell's deeper than we understand Lowell to be. And so Lowell, we'll give you a minute here just to say what you feel like saying. Here's the email I got. Is it on the screen, Jared? Because okay, good. It's on the screen. No, that's not, I'm sorry. The email itself, Jared, the email itself. We want that up, but I want the email itself. I have it right in front of me. So I'll start reading it. It says, soldiers of Christ and Huddle brothers. This is from Lowell Morrison. Soldiers of Christ and Huddle brothers. A reminder to attend the Central Ohio Huddle on March 16, 17, Fellowship Hall of Lancaster First Church of God. Yada, 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 yada. Join other Christian men as we fellowship to form and strengthen the personal bonds that will knit together our local churches and our Christian community to meet the rising darkness around us. Every day the world cranks the vice on each of us to conform to its rebellion against God, so we remain popular and liked. The world wants us quiet and docile. Do not give in what it wants. It has invaded many pews and pulpits and is lapping at the foot of the cross. Wow, Lowell. We are ridiculed. We are hated. We are now being persecuted by many for being disciples of Jesus. He said it would be so. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, shall hate one another. By the way, I think he's talking about believers. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And Lowell encourages by saying, it shall get much worse. Elsewhere, Scripture charges us boldly, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much so more as we see that day approaching. That's why OJ's here. That day dawns. Forsake not your brothers. Forsake not your faith. Assemble and stand. No king but Jesus. What's on your heart this morning, Lowell?
Well, you put me on the spot, but that's it. What I see in the world and why I see men like us being assembled together. Okay, we all came seeking something. Many of us have been seeking it our whole lives, this fellowship that we're creating. And it's accelerating. And I think it's accelerating by the Holy Spirit. He's calling us together. He's telling us, huddle up, to use the term that we use in here. But this is the Lord's response to what we see happening in the world. Okay, I'm gonna read you a poem. Okay, because I didn't know what the test was gonna be here when you sprung it on me. I thought you were gonna ask me what I saw happening in the world, and it's a poem called "The Second Coming." It's a short, just a section of it. "The Second Coming" by W.B. Yeats. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Surely
say it again,
some
Lowell.
Revelation...
Say that one again. Say that sentence again.
The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity.
Wow.
Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. I was speaking with one of the brothers the other day, and he asked what was happening. And it just came to me, something in our opposition, something in just men has been switched on. Evil has been switched on in our adversaries at such a level of intensity that I seldom even read about it in history. I mean, we all see it and we point to it and we even mock it and ridicule it. But guys, I've never seen the like of it. You feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These people hate us. They hate Jesus more specifically. And he's telling us, get together, pull it up, guys. Get inside that ark. Get ready to pull that door up because they're coming.
So Lowell's a guy who's, I don't know if you guys know this or not, Lowell's an old union organizer, lack of a better term. What's the enemy trying to do to us, Lowell, as you see it? If you were still on the devil's team, or if you're ever on the devil's team and you're in the process of trying to organize Beelzebub's team, what would be some things we'd be looking for? What do you see?
He's trying to divide us. He's dividing us. He's isolating us into our little pockets. Any strongholds we have, he is attacking and pulling down and infiltrating. He's seeking to make us. It's psychological propaganda. I mean, in every war, the communists were good about this. They would always have somebody on the radio, saying that you should. Come over to our side. You're here fighting and your women are being, seduced by others at home. And, he's trying to take the edge off our faith and to make us feel like it's hopeless. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our weapons. He's wanting our weapons to drop from our hands so that we don't resist.
The battle's worthless and you're alone and nobody cares. That's his message, isn't it, Lowell?
Yes. And we know that's not the case.
No, we know it's not the case. That's why we have to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, which is why I continually say over and over and over, boys and girls, you got to get connected and you got to stay close. You got to try to get to some of these events. Listen, I understand. I understand. They say, well, coach, it'd be nice to be like you, not have a job, be able to go to all these. I get it. I get it. But, you know, there are times in your life that if you were going to go someplace and you were going to go in Hollywood Squares and you got a chance to, they said, be here in Hollywood Squares on March 29th and we're going to put you on. You'd make it to Hollywood Squares. You'd make it to Hollywood. So it all comes down to the motivation of our heart and how important we think this stuff is. And I believe has kind of been the theme for the last, I don't know, month or so. This is it. We are right, fellas. If we cannot see the nuggets that the Lord is dropping to us in regards to so many of these issues. See, the enemy has gotten to where he has by his favorite technique, which is lies and deception. He is the father of lies. And every one of these evils that we see that we're dealing with in America, boys and girls, I don't care. You pick one. The entire argument is based on a lie. The entire argument. Abortion's based on a lie. What's the lie of abortion? Let's just see how good we are here, class. What's the lie of abortion? What's the lie that keeps abortion going?
That babies are murdering children from murdering mothers from the womb, apparently. That's the lie.
A baby's not a person.
The baby's not a person. What's another lie?
It's the mother's right.
Mother has the right to do whatever she wants to do with it.
It's also about women's reproductive health, whatever that's supposed to mean.
It's all lies. Every bit of it's lies. And it's been 46 years and those lies are still carrying the day, right? Let's go to the homosexual. What's the big lie of the homosexual agenda? It's so simple. What's the big lie?
God created them that way.
Born that way. You're born that way. It's all based on big, big lies. And see, you look at the abortion issue and you look at the homosexual issue, the evidence, the scientific evidence is just the opposite. But for whatever reason, we have, instead of us standing up and saying, hey, pardon me. Hey, dude, that's baloney. That's baloney. We just sit in our car and let him do it. Next thing you know, you know what Mark Trump said to me yesterday? Mark's always giving me mic drops. You know what Mark Trump said to me? He said, coach, if a war against good and evil were to break out, and you listen to me. Said if a war against good and evil were to break out, we'd have a better chance finding fighters in the bar than we would in the church.
Amen.
Huh? There's something wrong, isn't there?
Well, how many rabbis did Jesus recruit for his apostles?
Good question. That's a good point. Good point. So what am I saying? The entire argument of the left is built on a lie. The entire argument. And we let them stand. We let the lies stand. Think about your pastor. Why won't your pastor get involved? Whatever it is, it's based on a lie. I tell you this. If a pastor, I'm convinced that I'm not going to do it, Roger. If I were to start a church, it would be overflowing in 4 months because there's such a hunger. There's such a hunger for what we're talking about. If I started a church, people would come from far distances because they're sick and tired of it. And they understand the lies. They don't know they don't know what's true, but they know that isn't.
Who did Jesus hang out with, coach? Who did Jesus hang out with?
That's right. That's right. We know he hung out with, right? And so the battle is and remains for truth. It never has changed, boys and girls. It's never changed. See, all bad behavior begins with bad thinking, right? The guy drank a beer, thought he'd never get caught, right? The guy went out and on his wife, never thought she'd find out. The guy who was stealing money from this business never figured anybody would find it. And see, all bad belief, bad thinking leads to bad behavior. Because if you were to sit down and do the consequences of it and say, boy, if I do this and I get caught, whoo, I'm not going to do that, but we don't. I know. Are you ready? I know a guy. It would shock you. Who took a picture of his penis and sent it to a person he shouldn't have sent it to. A person that would shock you. Now, what in the name of forever
would make a guy do that? Wrong belief. I'll never get caught. So 65 million babies later, are we going to wake up and say, you know, they've been lying to us? That isn't her body. That isn't her choice. That is a person. When are we going to wake up to it? I'm going in circles. Come on in. You got anything to say, OJ? There's OJ sitting over there, just so you can know that he's a real guy. He's old Kentucky. He's Kentucky.
My wife.
What? Your wife's watching and she's missing it. Dorita, we love you. OJ's behaving. He's with John Brockoff. Oh, Dorita, OJ is rooming with John Brockoff. I'm afraid what I might be sending home to you. Boy, oh boy. Go ahead. Somebody come on in here.
You heard that lying idiot R. Kelly on TV crying about how he's being oppressed. What about all the things that he's done? He thinks he gets to get away with all that?
Well, that's what lying does. You've lied to yourself that you can get away with, and then when you get lied, then when you get caught, then you say, well, that wasn't really what I meant to do, or make all kinds of excuses for it, right? So,
right.
Listen, I wasn't going to do this, but now I'm going to do it. I heard the Lord on this one. Jared, I hate to do videos, but this is a really good video. Now, Jared, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull up, Jared. It says, let me see what to say. I just got this, by the way. David Reynolds sends me a million things a day, and he sent this to me, and I looked at it, and no, it wasn't from David. I'm sorry, David. It wasn't from you. Where did I find it? Hey, Jared. Good. It says Michael Voris on homo priests. Now, Jared, if you can do this, when you go to YouTube, you can speed it up. Michael talks kind of slow, so it's a 9-minute video. But if you speed it up to like 1.5, we can still understand it. We'll get the message. Infiltration. Okay, this Michael Voris is he's a Catholic, and he's a Catholic defender, and that's neither here nor there. But he speaks a lot of truth, man, a lot of truth. And so Michael Voris made this video about infiltration into the Catholic Church of homos. It's really good. I got this from Mike Heath, I think. Mike Heath is the one that sent this to me. Jared, go ahead and see if you can pull that up there. And Jared, if you can, try to speed it up. Although, folks, it'll go. I don't want to give 9 minutes to this thing. Okay, it's called the Vortex. This is Michael's. This is really, really good. And again, he's Catholic, and we can get in a debate about that. But that's not the whole purpose of this. There's some great wisdom here. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Vortex, where lies and falsehoods are trapped and exposed. I'm Michael Voris. Millions of Catholics are waking up to the carnage in the church, looking around and saying, what happened? How did it get to this point? Valid questions, and they deserve valid answers. The church has had spiritual and temporal enemies from the very instant she emerged from the womb of Israel. Her divine founder was betrayed and murdered, her original disciples virtually all martyred, and first generations persecuted for centuries. All of the temporal hate, of course, was whipped up in the unseen world of the spiritual by her major nemesis, the serpent. So, we first accept that any evil which befalls the bride of Christ is first engineered by the demon. At that point, he uses many various ways and launches multiple attacks, sometimes simultaneously, other times consecutively, but always attacking. Sometimes the attacks are obvious and all-out frontal assaults, but other times it comes from spiritual espionage, a fifth column, infiltrators whose mission is to flip those already inside. So they penetrate and poison, slowly at first releasing their infection, looking for victims they can latch on to and exploit, looking for a weakness, any weakness, spiritual, psychological, physical, whatever. The key that unlocks this specific plan is understanding that the point of attack shortly after communism walked onto the world stage was Catholic seminaries. It was here, in the seminaries, where the first real infiltrators got into the church, dropping, so to speak, behind enemy lines to begin a decades-long methodical process of corruption. In truth, not only did communists do this in proven cases in Eastern European seminaries, but also in U.S. government departments all over the federal bureaucracy. In the United States, as testified to on camera with Church Militant by Alice von Hildebrand, over 1,000 communist agents over more than a decade infiltrated U.S. seminaries, many of them sexual deviants, homosexuals, pederasts, and so forth. The eventual goal was to have at least some of these men rise to levels of influence in the church where they could enlist other men in successive generations to carry on their work of dismantling the church. Seminaries of both dioceses and religious orders were targeted and penetrated. The communist invasion behind the lines has proven to be enormous enormously successful. And as the first generation passed the baton to the second generation, the strategy changed. It was no longer to recruit actual communists or communist sympathizers for the seminaries. With many original agents having planted deep roots of subversion in the church, all that was necessary moving forward was to enlist malleable, weak men and malform them in the faith. This is why gaining control of the seminary system was so vital. It ensured one poor crop of priests after another, some of whom would go on to become bishops, who, with their poor formation, would keep the cycle going without any further need for actual communists. So, one by one, seminaries around the U.S., as well as other places in the world, became houses of deformation, churning out tens of thousands of men who were malformed in the faith, while also screening out those who possessed true vocations, increasing the bad and eliminating the good. Part of the malformation involved dumping the writings of St. Thomas Aquinas and promoting the works of known dissidents. Cardinal Walter Brandmuller, in a recent interview with Catholic reporter Ed Penton, spoke of the beginning of open dissent in the seminaries in the late 1960s and moving forward. He said, quote, "I don't know why, but that was the time of dissenting lecturers, Jesuit Father Joseph Fuchs, Father Bernard Haring, and Father Charles Curran. They were offering their teaching. The boys listened to these lectures and then began practicing homosexuality. The North American College at that time was a center of homosexuality," closed quote. For His Eminence to openly peg the North American College, also known as the NAC, for homosexual behavior and dissent stretching as far back as the 1960s, that's quite the indictment. The NAC is considered the West Point of U.S. seminaries. Candidates there are often on the fast track to be bishops and so forth. But the NAC was not alone. Huge numbers of seminaries were earning reputations for homosexual clubs. St. John's in Detroit under Cardinal John Dearden was so notorious, it actually had to be shut down for showing gay porn videos each Wednesday night under the guise of human sexuality class. Notre Dame in New Orleans acquired the nickname Notre Flame. Mundelein in Chicago was a hotbed of gay activity among seminarians, not to mention various bishops, in true McCarrick style, cruising the corridors. The Pontifical College Josephinum in Columbus, Ohio, while under now Cardinal Blaise Supich, from 1989 to 1996, was known all over the country for its gay subculture that was, in truth, more the dominant culture, supported by Supich, according to multiple seminarians present while he was rector. The list of pink palaces is endless, and not just diocesan seminaries, but religious orders' houses of formations as well. Barely any of the major established orders was spared. Franciscan, Dominican, Jesuit, especially the Jesuits, churned out gay men like clockwork, as pro-gay Jesuit Father James Martin has gone on the record and admitted. The situation got so bad in the 1980s, the Vatican launched an investigation led by, among others, Pittsburgh Bishop Donald Wuerl. His and the team's conclusion was, in essence, well, while some edges need a little smoothing here and there, things are pretty good. Meanwhile, the destructive process set in motion decades earlier by communist plants was reaching a climax. The Catholic priesthood had been almost completely transformed, and over the years with it, the episcopate in America, as deformed and homosexual seminarians became deformed and homosexual bishops, who appointed homosexual rectors of their seminaries, and the cycle continued. These gay priests, many of them active, were placed in parishes and chantries and schools throughout the church to continue the corruption. An important point is this. Even if an individual priest is not homosexual, active or otherwise, he still has more than likely suffered through the philosophical and theological malformation which is still present today in so many seminaries. So he is ill-prepared to go into parish life and be another Christ to the people. He's taught to be an accommodationist, to leave the happy-clappy liturgies in place, to resist any longing for tradition in liturgy or catechesis. He has been raised as a modernist by modernists, and that is all he knows. There are a number of ways at getting who was or is a bad actor in all of this, and one is to look at which bishops consecrated a new bishop. Oftentimes, the pedigree of a bishop can be easily determined by who consecrated him a bishop. It's not an ironclad rule, but more often than not, bad bishops beget more bad bishops. But another means of determining the Catholicity of a given bishop is to look at his seminary association, not just where and when he attended a given place, but more importantly, was he ever on the faculty or was he the rector of a pink palace? Were those immediately under him involved in sexual abuse of seminarians or the cover-up of it? These answers don't provide all the knowledge a person needs, but they do hold some keys to detangling the web of the homosexual network, because this is how young gay men were identified, recruited, tested, and then ordained and promoted. Once promoted, they keep the cycle going. All one has to do is go back and look at McCarrick's involvement in seminaries, as well as who he helped promote into the episcopate, or in the case of men like Supich and Tobin and Farrell, into the College of Cardinals. It is a web of deceit and immorality, as well as spiritual and financial corruption. But just remember what your parents probably once told you. Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. This has been almost a century of spiritual espionage going on in the church. It needs to be completely exposed, meaning names and associations and relationships, all the way back to seminary days. God love you. I'm Michael Vorse.
Amen. Amen. So infiltrate. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how that has happened? Now, boys, you think that's not true in the evangelical churches? You think that same type of molding and directing and who gets promoted and who doesn't get promoted and who gets the seminary job and who doesn't get who gets to become the overseer. You think that's not going on in the American church? And so this infiltration, notice how a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Catholicism's on the rocks. Say what you want. Can I tell you something? Evangelificism is right behind it. It's right behind it, boys.
the sexual abuses, the disrespect of a marriage, the acceptance of homosexual marriage. It's all they know. It's modernism. Somebody come on in.
Yeah, Coach. Remember the Vigano? He found about McCarrick. He told the Pope, and what did the Pope do? They got rid of Vigano. Great.
Right. Well, it's the same thing. See, it's the church is the ultimate deep state. I hate to tell you that. You think those guys don't protect their buddies? Huh? You think it isn't a good old boy system? Huh? I was talking to Matt Tyson, those guys on the way down here. Hey, JR, you'll appreciate this. I was talking about getting on terrestrial radio. I said, do you think if they put me on the radio in Columbus, Ohio, it'd take me very long to build a following? I said, oh, no. I'd build a following very, very quickly. But you know why they won't do that? Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Don't tip the boat over. Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Don't tip the boat over. They don't want the boat tipped over, see? They want to go along in a love boat on a cruise ship acting like those bodies floating out there or those sharks out there aren't really sharks and they aren't really there. Keep focusing on right here, and I don't care who you are. You turn on Christian radio, and all you get is bilge. As the world around us, I don't even know how I got on that one, but that's the truth. Come on in. I'm out of my element here. I'm on vacation. I'm in 6 feet of snow outside the window. I'm looking out here.
Coach, Luke 17. I'm sorry. Hold on. Luke 17, 28 through 30, Coach. That's the homosexual version and all that that's going on. Jesus said it's going to be running rampant worldwide right before he comes.
Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Understand what he was saying? In the days of Lot. In other words, when all of this debauchery was there, they just kept right on going. They just kept right on doing what they were doing, as it was in the day of Lot. until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Coach.
Yes.
They did eat and they did drink. And it also mentions that they did give in marriage. Were these marriages... spiritual marriages? Was this eating?
Wow. There you go.
Infiltration. Was this drinking of blood?
Infiltration. Hey, did God really say? He really mean that?
Hey, you know, in the what Jesus called the parable of the sower, and in Matthew it talks about the seed landed on the wayside, or you know, and it says, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Now, in Luke, when it talks about the seed by the wayside, and thank God that Matthew and Luke each decided to put this explanation of this parable in here, because it adds something to it. Those who by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. When you don't understand what you're hearing, if it's a gospel message and you don't understand it, there's not enough data there for you to process it. And then you believe on that belief ain't going to last. And so God is so good, he lets Satan take that away so they don't even believe wrong in the first place.
Amen. Amen. So I don't have a man crush on Mark Trump, but I was thinking of Mark Trump here right now. Data. Because I'm reading right here what we're just reading there about the day's lot. And then here comes a data point, boys and girls. Are you ready? Verse 30. Stay right there, Jared. I'm sorry. Verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in this house, let him not stuff. Wow. Stuff into the house. Let not him come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Boy, there's some data there, isn't it? In that short sentence. Remember Lot's wife? Maybe we ought to do a little bit of study on Lot's wife. Because right there in the middle of all this stuff's going on, he stops and says, hey, remember Lot's wife? There's some data there, baby. So we are in the midst of a time of the great. I am, boys and girls, I ain't no theologian. But I often say I can read and I can think. I'm not a theologian. But we're in the depth of one of the potentially darkest moments in the history of the world. And I would say this, that if we allow America to go under, I don't know. We might be plunged into 1,000 years of darkness. I know some of you are hoping for the return of Jesus, and that might be something that leads to it. But if good men sit around and allow this darkness to descend without trying to shine any light at all, we get, pardon me, our kids get exactly what they deserve. They'll pay the price for my comfort. They will. They'll pay the price for my silence. My children, my grandchildren will. Generations to follow me will pay the price. Now, I wish, OJ, you got that? Let me see that on your, we don't have time to. OJ's granddaughter made the most unbelievable. I want you to, I don't know if I can let you guys see this or not. Thanks, OJ. You probably can't see because everything's reversed. And on this little camera, it's hard to see it. And it's backwards. But she made this project. And folks, is it coming right? Jared, can you guys read it? Okay, that's what I thought. Here's what it says. She made a chart. And on this chart, how much damage can one abortion do? And then she lists down here, if my pa, which is her grandpa, okay, if my grandpa had been killed in his mother's womb, the total lost lives would be 70. And he said, one man, he had 4 kids, he had 14 grandkids, he had 39 great kids, grandkids, he had 12 great grandchildren. From that one man came 70 lives. That's profound, isn't it? So this idea of abortion, remember the Bible tells us this, that the children are the Lord's reward. That's 70 little rewards he'd have never had. And you think of the 60 million and you multiply it times 70.
Dave, that is why we're having an immigration problem. We've killed our workers.
We have.
And that's the consequence. The invasion is because of abortion. We've killed the workers.
Strangers will devour your land, is what it says. In your midst, strangers will devour your land because it's judgment.
Hey, Coach, that what Lowell said was really deep, man. When he said how many disciples that Jesus recruited were rabbis, think about that, brother. That's deep, bro. That's deep, man. That's why the things that you're doing here is doing because, hey, Jesus had to call a football coach. I've said this about you for a long time. Especially about the Kent Hovind deal. I said, you know what? It's sad that a high school football coach has to call out this nation. And where's all the preachers at?
Where are they? Hey, I just posted a meme on Facebook yesterday. Where are all the radio preachers in regards to infanticide? Am I hearing them? You turn on your local Christian radio station. You hear any of these big time preachers talking about infanticide? No, boys. No. Hey, it's us. We're it. We're God's A team, man. That's why I brought John Brockhoff on here yesterday. And I struggled with doing it because I know what people are immediately going to say. He's promoting violence. No. I'm promoting conscience.
Amen, brother.
I'm not promoting violence. I'm promoting conscience. This is going on our watch, in our midst. And what we do shows what we believe.
It's so true, Coach. Listen, you know, look at our forefathers. They gave their wealth and their lives for the sake of our posterity. And we enjoy all the freedoms that we have because many of those guys laid down their lives. And half the American population probably wasn't even for the revolution. So it's the same thing now. So if you're giving your money to the church, it's like giving it to King. It's like giving it to King George.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. That's what I would say. Stop it. God bless you all. Thanks. Hey, listen, I want you guys to know something out there. Your loyalty, I don't do it for this, but your loyalty to me means more than you'll ever know. And I know a lot of you guys are defending me, but you're not defending me. You're defending the call upon my life and what it is the Lord wants me to do. And I know I'm harsh. I know I come at it from a different angle. But boys, I'm going to tell you something. There isn't a day that I don't hang up this show, that I don't hit my off button when I walk away and say, that's true. Not a day. Oh, maybe some theological issues. Maybe it's here and there. Maybe a rapture thing. Maybe. But there's not a day I walk away from here and go up my steps, which I won't do here today, and say to my wife, I told him the truth today, honey. I told him the truth. And I just appreciate all of you being out there. Let's go advance the kingdom of God. Go have a great weekend here in Marshfield. Some great speakers. Rob's worked his butt off. And just pray for us that a lot of seeds will be planted. Bear much fruit. God bless you. See you on Monday.